Imagine that you're a Jew. You live in the far Near East. And it's time for one of those feasts that you're about to celebrate. And you want to fulfill the Torah, the law. And so you begin to make your way towards Jerusalem. Your goal is to go to the temple. The reason why you're going to go to the temple is worship. To give thanks to God for all that he has done. They would have thought about Egypt. They would have thought about manna. A cloud to guide them by day and fire by night. They would have thought about the victories in battle, of deliverance. And yet there they would be making their way to the temple. It was a long journey. It was hot. The offering, it probably didn't even cooperate. And then the caravan, the people that they were with, the group was loud enough that you would probably want to have some Tylenol just to deal with all the noise. And yet there they are. They're frustrated. They probably can't even remember why they were going to the temple. They would have turned around, but they were so far along. Have you ever felt like that? You know that you're coming to worship. You know that you're coming to give thanks to God for all of his blessings in your life. But then, like the hearer in our text, you begin to get close to Jerusalem. You're close to the temple. And then you begin to hear words like this. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Sounds a lot better than that. Oh, my soul, right? Worship his holy name. And the service goes on. And something begins to happen. That, as you come into worship, begins to have a different story. And you begin to realize that something happened. You're not sure when it happened. You're not sure how it happened. But you know that something happened. We're going to look to Psalm 100. And I'd like you to read it with me. It's going to appear on the screen. And I'd like to read it together. Read it with me. Let's say together, shout for joy to the Lord all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. So why did you come here? Why did you journey here this morning? To give thanks? To give thanks for salvation? For the church, for health, for family, for friends, for what's going to be a Blue Jays win this afternoon, for refreshment. But I think we get it. Because remember the hearer. It was a long, it was a hot, it was a tiring journey to worship. And like I talked about my morning, I'm doing a lot of those this morning. I suspect for many of you, as you come to celebrate Thanksgiving this morning, you know exactly what the hearer is talking about. It's not the long, hot, tiresome journey, but it's the overload of stress from work. It is that enduring illness that just won't go away. It is that noise that was in your car maybe this morning that has made you want to turn around, maybe let out a shout, maybe even take some Tylenol. It's the people that are pulling at you from every angle. It's the demands of life. I would even say it's the noise that is around us all of the time that just makes it hard to hear. But then you got here, right? And you were warmly greeted at the door. On both of these sides, you were welcomed as you came in. We heard the Lord's invitation to worship. The music began to play, and the songs began to maybe even flow from our lips. And we prayed. And we heard the word. And now we're hearing it proclaimed. And something within us remembers maybe why we came to worship. This morning, I hope we'll catch three things that the psalmist wants us to get, and then he's going to give us the reasons why. He starts this way. He says, shout for joy to the Lord, all of the earth. I love that language. When he's saying, shout for joy, a better translation is to give all that we are. It is the idea of dancing, and I'll spare you my dancing, but of clapping, of being... My dancing's pretty bad. Of exuberance, of an outright expression of joy and delight in God. He's actually giving an invitation to the worshiper to simply say this: let go. Get enthralled in the song. You can picture it, can't you? A military general wins a battle and they go crazy. If you watched game two of the Blue Jays, when Stroman struck out a player and struck out a player and struck out a player, the crowd went crazy. When Donaldson took the bat and he put a solo home run over the fence, everybody went ecstatic. So we say, go Jays, go for this afternoon, right? But they let go. People were caught up. They were enamored. They were lost in the moment. And so as we look at what happens here, God is inviting the worshipers in the midst of the story of the long, tiresome journey to Jerusalem to thank God for all of his blessings, for all of his goodness. And that's what I love about this, is because worship is what we do here together, but it throws through the week, or it goes through the week. And so as you and I leave this place and we go into Monday and we go into Tuesday and the Wednesday, how does that shout out to God, that expression of God, play out? So for you and I this morning, when the psalmist says, shout for joy to the Lord, what reason do you have to be able to shout to God? And then he says, worship continues, and it's played out through the week, doesn't he? And he says, serve the Lord with gladness. I can't help but think of Matthew, later on in Matthew, where we are reminded to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to look after the imprisoned, to look after those who are in need. Isn't that really a bold expression of worship? It is our faith, it is our testimony of saying, God is good, we sang about that, right? God is great, God is indescribable. Lived out in how you and I live. The best expression of our faith is how you and I live. It is caring for the poor and the needy and the hungry. But it's how you and I live every day, isn't it? How you and I live in God's goodness and God's abundance. It's how you and I... care for others, how we love our neighbor. It's how we work hard. It's as we treat others as we would want to be treated, for the sole purpose of giving worship or expression or delight or thanksgiving to God. So the psalmist says, this morning on Thanksgiving, I want you to shout for joy to the Lord. I want you to be able to serve him. But I also, and this is my favorite part of the first part of the text, he says, I want you to come with songs of gladness. Did you catch that? I think we skip over that. He says, I want you to come. I don't know what it's like for you, but I've never been invited to have dinner with Kathleen Wynne. Stephen Harper hasn't invited me over either. Dave Barrow hasn't invited me over. But the creator of the universe, God Almighty, says to you, let's get together. That is amazing. God himself says, you are getting a special invite to meet with me. So come with songs of gladness or joy, depending on your translation. And when you and I come to God, you will be refreshed. Your journey will move to one of gladness and stillness and joy, because God does not disappoint. God keeps all of his promises. And so God says, shout. Shout for joy to the earth, or joy all of the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. And come. Come with joyful songs. Now why? Here's what he says. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us. And if you and I have any reason to give thanks this morning, it is that God made you. Out of the 6 billion people in the world, God made you and I, and God doesn't make mistakes. God says that you and I are fearfully and wonderfully made. And I look at that, and I look at all my quirks and all of my idiosyncrasies and all that is going on in my life. And God says it's not only good, but it is very good. And God says the same thing about you. You are his. You are the exact representation of who God wants you to be. And God doesn't make mistakes. In a world that will try to tear us apart, God says, as you come to worship, as you remember your story, remember whose you are. You are mine. It is not by chance. And because you are mine, I will take care of you. I will not disappoint. I will refresh. I will sustain. I will uphold. I will provide. I will watch over your coming and your going. So shout for joy, because I've got it taken care of. As you're here in your story to worship this morning, maybe as we are even in worship, God's saying, I've got it taken care of. Trust me. I will hold you. I will sustain you. I will carry you through to where you need to be. I've got it taken care of. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. If you know anything about a shepherd will do anything in everything to be sure that the sheep is taken care of. And so God says to you this morning, shout, serve, come. I've got it taken care of. So, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. You see the gospel laid out in that verse? Because remember, right here, we're in the Old Testament still. The time before Christ has come. And so as they came to worship, if you were a Jew or a Gentile, you would be able to maybe worship out here. If you were a woman, you could worship here. If you were a godly Jewish man, you could vote here, sit here. If you were a high priest, but once a year you can go into the Holy of Holies, but only that one time of the year. And it seemed as though there was a barrier. But when Jesus Christ died, what happened? The veil of the curtain was torn in two. It's God's way of saying, you have access, you have admittance, you can come into my presence. And because you and I can enter into his presence, we can do so with thanksgiving, because he has taken care of everything. And now he says, do you want to know why you can shout, why you can serve, and where there's delight in coming into my presence? He says this, for the Lord is good. The word good means that we want to be part of something, that we want to share something. It is good when a young couple wants to get married and they want to share their lives together. It's coming soon, isn't it? It is good when a couple wants and is blessed with the ability to have a child. It is good when you want to share your life here in the community to bless others. But it says here that God is good. And God wants to share himself with us. And not only does God share himself with us, but he does so to exceeding abundance. The best way I can describe it would be if I were to take this cup and if I were to have a jug of water or pop here, you can already picture where this is going, right? It's like a little kid, and I'm a kid. And I would take that water and I would fill it up as close to the rim as I could get so that it was almost overflowing. And that if I were to even move the cup, water would begin to pour out. That's exactly what God does for us when it says that God is good. It's that he so wants to fill us with himself that our lives would be filled with exciting joy and delight and goodness. Ultimately done through the cross. If you and I want to know why we can give thanks this morning, it is because of the cross. It is because of our deliverance. And if God has done that for us, there is not an area of our life that God will not speak into, where God will not touch, where God will not seek to move us along in our story of faith. And then he says, his steadfast love endures forever. You and I are that expression of living out that worship in that shout. It is living it out in that idea of service by loving our neighbor as ourselves, by treating others as we would want them to treat us, by living out our grace, by caring for the needy and the poor, by the hungry, by serving one another. We become that representation of the grace of God. And then God's covenant people, we're included in that. Picture the Jewish hearer hearing these words, and his faithfulness endures for all or through all generations. Because they were waiting. They were moving towards the promised land, the fulfillment of all of those promises. And they were reminded that the God who would lead them out of Egypt and did lead them out of Egypt would take them home. And he will take us home as well. I think of that journey of the first hearers. And I think of our own journey. How was that journey to worship for you this morning? Has anything changed since you've come to worship? Amen. We're going to pray together. And as we do, we want to remember the names in the bulletin. We want to pray for the Thanksgiving dinner we're going to have here tomorrow. We're going to want to pray for Al's stepdad as he recovers in hospital after a mild heart attack. And we want to continue to pray for Gail. Many of you may have seen some of the updates that the family is posting on Facebook. There is some improvement, it looks like, for Gail, but there are still a number of obstacles that she needs to work through unrelated to her lungs. So we simply want to continue to pray for her and pray that God would do a miracle in her life as well. So let's give thanks for the healing that has taken place, but also for God's hand and everything that needs to still happen. Let's pray together. God, we thank you that there is joy and delight in being in your presence. And Lord, we thank you that in our journey to meet you, that you come to meet us in the midst of our story. And Lord, I just thank you for this morning and the uncomfortableness for me, where I was reminded that it's not about me and it's about you. It's about what you want to say rather than what I want to say. But I also think of our own journeys here this morning, Lord, that are somewhat like that, where we're struggling and we're wrestling. There's difficulties. Maybe we're relying on our own ability. And this morning that you decided to step in and interfere in that and draw us back to what it's really all about. Lord, we thank you for the community of faith. We thank you for worship. We thank you for the songs and for the words of grace and of truth that remind us that you are God and that you are great. And although we may not always see it, you've got everything under control. And so, Lord, as we think of that, Lord, we think of our upcoming election, Lord. We just pray that the issues would become clear, that, Lord, whoever is elected would lead with integrity and honesty. And, Lord, that our government, Lord, not only federally but provincially and locally, Lord, would seek your face. And that we as your church would pray for our leaders to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with you. Lord, we want to pray for the dinner that we're going to have here tomorrow. Lord, as 200 people come to this place tomorrow, Lord, we just pray that they would not only get good food, which they will, but that they also, Lord, would experience grace and hospitality and Christian love. And that through those who will be serving here tomorrow, Lord, that they would experience Christian hospitality. And that they too would do what our passage is saying, and that, Lord, those who would serve would do so with gladness, knowing the immense blessing they are giving to so many people. Lord, would you continue to lay your hand on Gail? Lord, we thank you for the updates that it appears that the sedation continues to be lowered, that there seems to be some alertness as she comes out of that. That her lungs seem to be doing a little bit more of what they're supposed to be doing. Lord, we want to give you thanks for that. But Lord, we also just pray for all of the other challenges that are underlying all of this, God. And we just pray that you would move mightily and powerfully, Lord, that your will would be done. And Lord, that in that, as we wait for that to come to fruition, that, Lord, you would give her a sense of calmness and peace, that her body would do what it's supposed to do. And, Lord, our prayer would be that we would look forward to seeing her dance for joy as she has longed to do for so long. And so, Lord, we pray for a miracle within her body and pray that you would touch her and sustain her and refresh her even now as we're praying. Would you continue to be with Dan and Trix, Lord, as we wait again, as we pray, that you would ultimately and totally heal Dan. We pray that you keep his spirit refreshed, that you would strengthen him and Trixie. And Lord, that there may be more and more signs of, Lord, of improvement in his body. Lord, would you be with El's stepdad, Albert? Would you continue to be at work healing his body from this heart attack? Would you strengthen him and refresh him, and Lord, that he too may be able, as they hope, Lord, to either leave the hospital today or tomorrow. And we just pray that, Lord, that there would be no lasting damage, Lord, and that he would be returned to full health. As we think of health, Lord, we pray for Margaret's brother, John. Lord, we pray that you too would just touch him. We pray that you would heal his body, that you would encourage him, Lord, that you would refresh him, Lord, that you would give him everything that he stands in need of. And that, Lord, he too would experience a total and complete recovery. And Lord, I think of our journey this morning. I pray that whatever you need to do in us, that you would already have begun that this morning in worship. That we remember why we came. that we would remember all the things we have to be thankful for. And that we would leave this place ready to walk into a new week, shouting as we go along, serving as we move, and longing to come together again next Sunday. Thanks for your abundant goodness. And thank you that you are so good. In your name we pray. Amen.